We got Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, in here, brought to you by Finance It. What's up, Bob?
Not much, boys. Game 7.
You amped up or what?
Yeah, it should be really good. Looking forward to it. And it's, you know, night or two off from hockey, and it's good to get it back.
Well, we've been detailing like the statistics. If you didn't watch any of the games or know any of the scores, you'd look at this series, and someone would hand you a sheet, and you'd be like, wow, same amount of goals, same amount of shots, same amount of scoring opportunities, yet every game feels like a blowout.
Yeah,
like, how did we get to this point?
It's been the 1-2-1 game, and otherwise it's been higher scoring than some people thought, and not close in
right.
the final analysis. And you know, we were talking about it on SportsCenter earlier, Owen and I, on the panel. And I mean, if, in 5 of the 6 games, if you score the first goal, you've won the game. In 4 of the 6 games, there's been no lead changes within the game. You score the first goal, get ahead.
Over.
And in 4 of the 6 games, it's been game over. And not, and outside of the 1-2-1 game in the series, it's been, you know, 4-0, 7-4, 6-2. So it's kind of bizarre. And both are good goalies, and both have let in some bad goals. Probably Rene more than Hellebuck.
Yeah.
It's been, hasn't been a home ice series. So I don't know what to expect for Game 7, to be perfectly honest.
Shouldn't the motivating factor here, and you can never, we just talked about it off air, you should never underestimate what Vegas is doing, but just the opportunity ahead. Wouldn't both of these teams look at what, and they're all great teams, Tampa's good, Washington,
yep.
but you got to think, man, get through this, and we got a real opportunity to lift that thing above our heads.
Yeah, although I think that's the last thing in the world you can do.
I know.
But I know what you're saying, if you dare to allow yourself to do that.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. I heard Pierre LeBrun on his SportsCenter panel hit from Nashville, and he was talking that exact thing about how, wow, you know, just got to get by Vegas and you're in the Cup Final. And he thought that whoever wins this series is headed to the Cup Final. I'm not convinced of that. I think this Vegas thing is sort of...
You just don't go away.
Well, how can you, man?
It's beyond going away. They're really good.
Really good, and they've been really good. Mm. And so I don't even think you can do that. I think these two teams are real good teams. They've been the two best teams in the NHL over the regular season. But Vegas was real close. So was Tampa, for that matter.
Yeah,
you know, Tampa didn't even for much of the second half they didn't have to give a damn.
No, they
that whole division was set in stone at like January.
I've complained a lot about the setup, the format, but when you think about it, Washington's left, Tampa's left.
Washington,
all the conference.
Yeah, it's like all Nashville the good teams are left. So how could I complain about it?
If Nashville wins tonight, all 4 division winners
are in the final four.
When does that happen?
And Washington quietly was 6th in the league. I think they were tied. Were they tied?
They just passed the Leafs.
They passed the Leafs
by like a point or something.
Yeah. But like that's, you're right. And Washington was the one that people were like, nah, you know, I thought they flew under the radar all.
They did all year.
They still are
all year.
You know, people would consider them big underdogs against the Lakers.
I have them big underdogs.
I think they win that series.
Vegas does. Vegas has them as big underdogs.
Maybe I should bet $20 on...
Yes, you get plus odds on the Caps. I mean, it kind of feels like destiny. They finally get there. You know, like, they can't treat this like they've accomplished anything. Yeah, you beat Pittsburgh and you've been waiting to do it, but you're only through 2 rounds.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've been expected to win a cup forever, not just beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They can't just be satisfied with that. With being where they're at, right? In Washington, I wouldn't think.
No, I wouldn't think so either. Because the glow of finally beating Pittsburgh is going to wear off real fast if you get dusted by Tampa Bay.
Right, exactly.
In short order, so you better come to play. But I don't know. Tonight, I don't know what to expect. I want to, you know, I think it's going to be a 2-1 game. That's what I think, but...
We were talking about that earlier. Somebody scores midway through the second period and then an empty netter or whatever.
Careful game. I think both teams are going to kind of just settle down.
Although,
here.
Remember, we said that 2 weeks ago with the Boston Leafs series in Game 7. We're like, yeah, they'll probably just
7-1.
Ease into it.
7-4. Yeah, exactly. 7-4 that one, both goalies were.
That was crazy. But I don't know. I don't know why I would say it's going to be a 2-1 game because, as we say, there's only been one in the series, and most of the games have at least, you know, 4-11 goals. So I don't know where I get off thinking it's going to be 2-1, but for some reason I think we're going to see the best from Rene, we're going to see the best from Hellebuck, I think we're going to see the best from both teams, and I think the best from both teams is tightening it up. I think Winnipeg's got more of an extra offensive gear if it gets to be a shootout, because they've got more lines that are delivering. That, you know, the Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson line is the only one that seems to be doing anything offensively for
Kyle
Nashville.
Turris has not done a lot at all.
Well, he's a lightning rod. He has 0 goals in 12 games, 3 assists.
Yeah. And Fiala, you know, there's been... They had a few chances last game. They were a little better. And Lavi said they were better in game 5, but they haven't been good. Fiala's been somewhat dangerous. He did have the winner in the double overtime in game 2.
What's the latest on our buddy John Ferguson Jr.? Like, it sounds like he's...
Who is pumping his name out?
Well, he's Don Sweeney admitted to the media today that he's had a couple of interviews, right? Like, Sweeney said it, so it's not like it's fake news.
Well, but where, you know, okay, so...
Carolina didn't get it.
Carolina's closed.
And by the way, Carolina was a token. We got to interview somebody.
So Minnesota, I don't believe he's heavily in the mix in Minnesota. So
Toronto, then.
There you go.
Toronto's the next spot.
I don't think so.
You're willing to put a guarantee on that he's not coming back?
We were talking the other day. Well, that's not happening. I'll interview on behalf of not bringing.
How about the horse manure guarantee? Would you eat horse manure on the air if John Ferguson Jr. is hired back in Toronto? Okay.
Back in Toronto? I think that's a guarantee.
We were talking about Toronto, Bobby. If they were going to hire Kyle Dubas, wouldn't they have done that?
Perhaps, but I still think that's the logical choice for Brendan Shanahan. In Brendan Shanahan's world, I mean, not mine, not my choice. Not that I'm opposed to it, but it's just... I think that's the guy that Brendan's going to hire. But, you know, there's all sorts of rumors out there. I mean, when Ronnie Francis is sitting there and, you know, there's been stuff of just rumor stuff, and I stress rumor stuff on Twitter. Well, Shanahan's just waiting for Yzerman to finish up with the Tampa Bay Lightning this year, and, you know, he's a candidate, and you know, this guy or that guy. Listen, Brendan Shanahan's got a clean slate. He can do whatever he wants.
Steve Yzerman's under contract, isn't he?
Yeah, and I don't understand why Yzerman would want to come to Toronto, per se. He's got a pretty sweet deal in Tampa. He's got a great owner in Vinnick, and he's got unfinished business there to try and win a cup. So, you know, I think from the get-go, it's more likely to be internal than external, but we couldn't rule out external, but a very small percentage. And if it's internal, it's either Dubas or it's Hunter. And I think Shanahan might be more predisposed to go Dubas than Hunter. But as I say, anything's possible and nothing's happened yet. So,
well, and people are talking that the Marlies are still playing, and Dubas, that's pretty much his... Has that not been
But Dubas's? That makes no sense. Like, the Marlies are owned by the Maple Leafs. It's
I
not
get
like
that.
He's got to ask Sheldon Keefe for permission to hire
Kyle
Dubas.
I understand that, but, I mean, didn't you get the sense that Dubas pretty much... I mean, I know his role was bigger, but he's been the guy in charge of the Marlies.
No, he's in charge of the Marlies.
Right. But that can continue if you announce him as the GM of the Leafs. It's not like he's not going to show up at the RICO. Yeah. Like, what does a GM do now anyway? Into the playoffs.
Gotta be...
Only Brendan knows, and Brendan isn't saying.
Yeah.
I guess. Speaking of the American Hockey League, you see that game last night? 5 overtimes?
Yeah, Alex Lyon made with 92
saves.
Yeah,
92 saves.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Where was it?
The Bojangles Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Gritty.
That's a great city, by the way, Charlotte. My son Mike got to play briefly in the American League there. It's a really nice city.
Charlotte.
At what point would you sign off at the NHL level overtime to go 4-on-4 or 3-on-3?
In terms of how many overtimes before
overtimes,
you do it?
Like that, like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember when we used to get a lot of really long overtimes in the National Hockey League. Because I thought it was almost... My anecdotal memory of really long overtimes is they tend to ruin series. So it's great.
Like, yeah, because you're tired.
You get a double or a triple or a quad And that night that you're doing it, you're up late, and it's awesome, and you're like, oh, this is good. And, no, and of course, there's ebb and flow and everything else. But afterwards, it's like the series is sometimes, it's crap after that.
Right.
Both teams are so exhausted. Sometimes it's so deflating for the team that lost in like quadruple overtime. They're just like, nah. Their heart has been ripped out.
We had a triple overtime game, game three, against the Red Wings.
Red Wings, I remember. Yeah.
Larry Onoff scored in triple overtime, and I thought to myself, we're screwed. Whoever won that game was going to win the series.
Was it 1-1 at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like they were an older team, and I think that they would have been so deflated if they had lost that triple overtime.
Yeah,
and it's like, do we have enough mustard to come back? And they just went on to
kick
our
asses. I was when the NHL, and if for whatever reason, it hasn't been a problem in the last number of years. But, you know, because you used to get, when we used to do the playoff games, sometimes you'd get the Dallas San Jose game that started at 10:30, and that went to like triple or quad,
right?
And you're like, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Try doing that's hockey tonight after that at 3:45. Look alive, and you're trying to
game one of the first round.
Get going, like,
and it, you know, and again, you can argue it's exciting triple quads, but of those triples or quads, more than half of it is usually garbage hockey. It's usually between the blue lines and Dump it in, chip it in. And you get flurries where it's like, well, great goal scoring chance. This is awesome. This is awesome. Then they come the other way. Great goal scoring chance. And it's the drama of knowing that this thing's gone so long now. And then all of a sudden it would settle into 10 or 12 minutes of nothing.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was somewhat enamored of that idea that you just threw out of, you know what, after the first overtime, let's make it 4-on-4. After the second overtime, let's make it 3-on-3. Let's not play all night and all day. But then you get people who say, that's not the way Maurice Richard did it.
Right.
Yeah. You gotta stay with the tradition of the game, keeping in mind that basically every tradition of the game has gone out the window for the sake of modern game.
I would try it at the
We should all travel on trains too.
Yeah.
really that's tradition.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's
no helmets.
You could try things at the AHL level and see the temperature of it, but last night you get 5 overtimes. Like you say, it's probably going to ruin that series. I would have liked to see, you know, you hear about it. Okay, after 2 or whatever, you're going right to 3-on-3.
Yeah, I would say.
1 overtime period, 3-on-3. Go ahead.
Well, I get it, but there are.
That'd be great for me.
Think about it, though, at the NHL level, like 1 overtime period, you can get through it. It's usually early in the second overtime that goal happens. So,
well, I'm sure there's statistics on it. Like, I'm sure that if you look it over, when goals generally happen. And
right. Was it Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, the Ron Tugnutt? Wasn't that like, and Keith?
Well, I left North Carolina. I was driving home. No, this was the Keith Primo.
Yeah, the Keith Primo goal on Ron Tugnutt.
I left Greensboro, North Carolina at 7 o'clock. The game started. I had it on a radio station. The goal was scored when I was in Pittsburgh. That's how long that game was.
It's crazy.
It was I listened to the whole thing. I'm like, this overtime after overtime, I was getting into Pennsylvania around Pittsburgh. Goal, Primo, roofed it over Tugnutt's
arm. You didn't stop in West Virginia for a cocktail or anything?
I used to stop at a bunch of different places.
We are now.
Yeah, the Peeler joint.
You guys open?
We are now. Ghetto Blaster.
Hit the tunes. All right, Bob. Enjoy it tonight.
All right, boys.
There's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.